We think on the readings for today, especially the coming of the Holy Spirit with power in Acts chapter 2 and Jesus' teachings, as we heard in the gospel reading. To start, I reread verse 16 and 17 of Acts 2. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. You are our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, Martin Luther wouldn't have been born for 1,500 years yet, but there were some Lutherans there that day because they were saying to one another, what does this mean? What does this mean? Which is our typical question in our Lutheran catechism. The crowds were astounded. And they didn't know what to make of it because they were hearing in their own languages, their own mother tongues, this preaching going on. And it was that message that they heard clearly in their own languages that astounded them. Now, the mocking that they were drunk, it doesn't even make sense, right? Because you don't get to speak other languages clearly through being drunk. That makes no sense. Maybe somebody won't understand you at all, but not a clear teaching and praising of God. And so Peter says, what you are seeing take place, God said would happen. And God said through the prophet Joel, and in the last days it shall be, God declares that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Joel 28, chapter 2, 28 verses 32. That's what's happening. God's Spirit is being poured out on all flesh. So that's what we're going to think about this morning a bit. What was happening here? What does that mean? Well, God's Spirit is being poured out, being given. Well, who is doing that? The general answer, God, is correct. But more specifically, it is Jesus who is giving His Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to His disciples. That's what the gospel reading said. I will send the Helper, the Spirit of truth, to you. And so, the Father is sending, Jesus is sending the Holy Spirit to His disciples. I have a passage written down in the little sermon notes. From Luke 3:16, Jesus answered them all, John answered them all, saying, I baptize you with water, but He who is mightier than I is coming, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. So John also prophesied that Jesus would send the Holy Spirit, and as Peter said in his sermon, Joel prophesied that. And there was other prophecies of God sending His Spirit to His people. Now, why does He do that? Why does He do that? Okay, you can speak up if you want to, children, if you're brave enough, okay? The Holy Spirit was called, it starts with the letter H. He was called the, I'll see if they get it. He was called the Helper. Was that your answer? Yes. To help them. Now, that word in the Greek, and sometimes the English translations use this Greek word, paraclete. paraclete. And it has different translations. It can be translated helper. It can be translated counselor. It can be translated comforter. And that's why you'll see in different English translations, the translators decide, well, we'll translate it comforter. But it has all that. But the root meaning of it means someone who comes up to your side, is alongside of you to be with you. Paraclete. And so that person that comes alongside of you to help you, helps you, counsels you, comforts you. That's the word that Jesus used, paraclete. And so the disciples, they should not be afraid that Jesus was going to leave them physically in body so that they couldn't see him anymore, because they would have a helper, a comforter, a counselor that would take care of them. So also, Jesus called the Holy Spirit a spirit of children, spirit of truth. Truth. That's right. Truth. And so this Holy Spirit that Jesus would send would not mislead them, would keep them on the right path, would keep them on, and what, maybe some of you know this, what were Christians first called? It's recorded in Acts. They were called the way. The way. The Holy Spirit, which means the road, the way to God. Thomas said, and Philip asked, how do we get to heaven? How do we go to our Father's house? We don't know the way. And what did Jesus say? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And the Christians were first called the way, because they knew the way, Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit would keep them on the way, keep them on the right road, counsel them, guide them, give them the truth, the spirit of truth, how to stay on the way. And the Holy Spirit, Jesus also said, will remind you of what I have said. He will take from me and give it to you. As Christians, the Holy Spirit says, you listen to Jesus. You listen to God's word. Yes, people are saying this, and people are saying that, and society thinks this, and society thinks that. You listen to Jesus. He is the way. And that's the Holy Spirit in us. If we, as Christians, when it happens that, that thing that's going on, that's really bothering me. It can be a big thing in world history, or maybe it's just something in my life that's bothering me. That's the Holy Spirit working in your life, seeking you, urging you, helping you, counseling you to look to God's word as the truth for right and wrong, for your own actions, for your own decisions. That's the Holy Spirit guiding us in Jesus' teachings. And the Holy Spirit comes with God, with the Father's and Jesus' authority. It is so important to realize that we have, yes, these earthly authorities that God gives us around us, and we listen to them and we obey them. But the highest authority is God, His Word. And the Holy Spirit convinces us and shows us this is the highest authority. It is from Jesus. He's my Savior. He's my King. The Holy Spirit then is in our lives as Christians. This is, Jesus gives him to us through his word, through holy baptism. And what we see in that first Pentecost day is they had the power to witness to Jesus. They had the right words. They had ways to express it and prophesy. Now, that word prophecy in the Old Testament and the New Testament, both, sometimes we think of prophecy in our day and age, we think of prophecy like, oh, a guy will tell a future and it will prophesy this and prophesy that. It has that meaning, but the bigger meaning of prophecy is to preach or proclaim. Because if you look at the Old Testament prophets, a lot of what is written down is all preaching, is proclaiming, is explaining, is teaching at times. Sometimes it's about the future. Sometimes it's about the future Messiah. But it is always God's word proclaiming. And that's the Holy Spirit's work in us, is to show us, is to move us to speak the name of Jesus, to bear witness to what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. To preach, I had a little note, to preach correctly. The Holy Spirit doesn't inspire false prophecy. He inspires true prophecy. The Holy Spirit doesn't inspire false teaching, false preaching. He inspires the truth. The truth is connected to God's word. That was a miraculous day of hearing all those languages in all those different areas. And sometimes, like in when we were missionaries in Ghana, it's just like, in fact, I don't know if I ever told you this, Debbie, but Tim Heine, the missionary that we came to, the Heine family, we came to help in the Kunkoma area in northwest Ghana. Tim said, "Oh, Carl, this language is so hard to learn," because it was, at that time, the Kunkoma language was not a written language yet. We had to listen to it and write it down ourselves. I had a little bit of training, and I used Tim's notes, and I had a teacher who could speak English and Kunkoma. So you're writing and you're learning, not from a book, but just from the person, from speaking it. And so Tim, I remember one time, more than one time, he prayed, "Oh God, give Carl the Holy Spirit so he can just speak this directly." And it didn't happen that way. Although the little bit I remember, I can still say, and they're still surprised when I go back to Ghana, I can speak a little bit of Kunkoma. Normally, it takes time to learn languages, or we learn it as we grow up, and our parents discipline us. "No, that's not the way you say it. Say it like this." And we teach our kids their mother tongue, or we learn other languages as we're growing up or in school and so forth. And that's hard to do. And it has to take hold of our minds, that new language. But here is miraculous. As much as a miracle as it was, and it was, that they could speak different languages all at once, what was the purpose of the miracle? The purpose of the miracle was to proclaim Jesus Christ in the languages that they understood. That was the purpose. So the wondrous thing about Pentecost, yes, it's wondrous about the different languages and the tongues of fire, but the wondrous thing is that they proclaim Jesus Christ. So for most of us, when we have to learn languages to be a missionary or to do this or that, God says you will learn it, you will learn it, you will learn it. But it's for the same purpose, is to proclaim Jesus. We know in the scriptures there's gifts of the Holy Spirit, there's fruits of the Holy Spirit. Those things are listed, and they come into our lives, and the Holy Spirit gives as he will give to different people. But I wanted to close with this emphasis on what the Holy Spirit gives to all people at all times, all Christians at all times. Now, the problem in 1 Corinth, which you may well know, is that they were arguing in their church in Corinth about so many different things. They had so many different arguments. But one of the arguments they had is that they said, "I speak in tongues. I do miracles. I prophesy." And it was boasting. Who was better than another? And St. Paul comes down on that. And he says, you're all one body, and the Holy Spirit gives you gifts to serve one another, not to boast. But then, in chapter 13, he talks about the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives to everyone. Every single Christian receives faith and hope and love. Paul said, the greatest of these faith, hope, and love, and love is the best. Faith and hope we need in this life, and the Holy Spirit gives it to every Christian. Faith in Jesus Christ, faith in God's Word, faith to believe in the things we can't see yet, but that are promised to us, faith, and the hope that I know it. It's not a hope that I think it's going to happen. I wish it would happen. No. I hope it's going to happen. Jesus is going to come again. I'm going to heaven. I'm going to meet my Christian relatives in heaven. Certainty. That's what we need in this life. And every Christian gets faith and hope. And the other thing every Christian gets is love. The love from God that also goes out to love one another. And the thing about love is that love is not only for this life, but for forever into heaven too. Faith is something we clinging on to, the promises of God's word, the promises of Him. Paul says, when it happens, I don't have to have faith anymore because there it is, real. I'm in heaven. Jesus has come again. It's real. Hope, it's all real. But love continues. And that's what all Christians have and are given. Faith, hope, and love. So these are some things that we recognize and we give thanks to God for on Pentecost. And I say, spoke with the children, we Christians can always, always cling to the fact that we have the Holy Spirit, and we ask the Holy Spirit to help us, to comfort us, to guide us, to show us truth. It is Jesus' absolute promise. Remember that and pray for those things. We pray. Dear Father in heaven, we give you thanks for sending your Holy Spirit on the disciples on that first Pentecost. We ask you to continue to send us your Holy Spirit each day of our lives, that we may stay in the right way, that we may know the truth, that we may have faith, hope, and love. Keep these things in our minds and hearts all the time. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.